Good morning.
Good
to see everybody on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. I understand we're going to get into the 80s this week, which praise the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I've reached the point where cold hurts. So I'm going to be outside and doing yard things this week. Hope you can be too. Get back to nature. We do have some announcements today. The Church Women United will be celebrating May Friendship Day on May the 12th. That is this coming week, Friday, at 11 o'clock in Hollis Hall. So please, all ladies are encouraged to attend. Are men invited, or are they just going to be in a support role? Supporting role, okay, as usual. Thank you very much. We are starting a new soup and scripture book tomorrow, as a matter of fact, Rediscovering Our Spiritual Gifts by Charles Bryant. This has been studied before here, and we are looking forward to doing it again. So come and be a part of that. When we talk about spiritual gifts, we're not necessarily talking about speaking in tongues and that kind of stuff. We're talking about how God calls each one of us to be about a specific work and enables us to do that. So when you hear spiritual gifts, sometimes that has a lot of baggage coming along with it. Leave the baggage at the door. Come and see what we're all about. We are going to be celebrating Sue Spivey Sunday on the 21st. That's going to be a big celebration. Sue, of course, doesn't understand why anybody is making a big hoopla about her, but we know why we're making a big hoopla about her, and that's all that matters. She'll be here, and we will honor her for all of her good works and her gentle disposition. We are going to be having fellowship lunch on the 21st also. So come and make your reservation. There's always plenty of food. It's always very good food. And the fellowship is always grand. Now, a couple of other notes. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Gentlemen, this is a marriage maintenance memo. Okay? Saying unto the mother of your children, "You ain't my mama," is not going to float. Okay? Do something nice for Mother's Day. And also, you know, it was a very rich weekend this weekend. We had the coronation. How many of us watched the coronation? Okay, that very interesting. And you may or may not know that when the sovereign is in Scotland, they are the titular head of the Church of Scotland, which is, of course, the Presbyterian Church. So when King Charles goes to Scotland and you suddenly feel an urge to sing "God Save the King," don't feel completely out of place. We also had the Kentucky Derby. Who watched the Kentucky Derby? Okay, about the same number of folks. Y'all were just glued to your TVs yesterday, weren't you? I'm always amazed at the Kentucky Derby, at the fashions that the men wear. I mean, I know the ladies get all dressed up with hats and gowns and all that, but the men use this as an opportunity to wear the most outrageous clothing. I looked at it yesterday and I said, somewhere in Louisville, Kentucky, there are a bunch of Ford F-150s without seat covers. And finally, prom last night. I understand from Alex, prom was a great success. And people got dressed up, and I guess they rode limousines around. I've never been in a limousine. I have ridden in the front seat of several Cadillac hearses in my time, but I don't think that counts. Do we have any other announcements? Remember, yes, Alice. Oh, that's right. That's right. Aaron left me that note and I judiciously forgot it. Thank you so much. Feel free to stick around after 12:30. And if you do, you'll be sticking around for a lot longer. So we're always glad to have an opportunity for fellowship, but that might make you late for your Sunday luncheon reservations. Any other announcements? Remember, laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let us greet one another.
Please stand for the call to worship. We are called to believe in God.
We are called to believe in Jesus.
We are called to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit.
We are called to follow His path until we reach our home.
Welcome to this leg of the journey. Let us worship God. Shall we pray? Holy God, you tell us of the many dwelling places in your home. You also tell us that your home is our home. Help us to remember that all of our paths lead to our homecoming, where a feast awaits in the wings of eternity. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. We are prone to wander, O Lord. We forget the path of your grace and try to find our own way. Be quick to find us when we find ourselves lost in dark forest of despair and anger. Forgive our waywardness and restore our feet to your path. Through Jesus, our reigning Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ,
we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now we'll have our time with the children. I'll ask the young people to join me up front. Oh, good. Well,
very good. All right, come on here. All right, we have friends here with us today. I'm so glad you're here. And Lila, come on up, dear. We got plenty of room for you. All right. And our tradition is to greet ourselves by saying, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's pretty good, but let's try it one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's getting a little weak. Okay, next week we're going to do better for Mother's Day. Now, I have here in my hand something that somebody gave me many years ago. This is a little wooden carving of a man called St. Francis. Do you know anything about St. Francis? No? Well, sometimes you see him in gardens, around bird baths and that kind of stuff. St. Francis lived a long time ago, and he was from the town of Assisi. I believe that's in Italy somewhere. But look at what he's holding. What is that right there?
A bird.
It's a bird. That's right. Little bitty bird. You know, he used to have one up here on his shoulder, but
it broke.
That's right. He's birdless on his shoulder. Now, St. Francis was a neat person. You can pass that around if you want to. He loved all of God's creation. He talked about brother, sun, and sister, moon. And he talked about the glory of the animals and how neat they were and he loved everything that God made. Sometimes we have a hard time thinking that everything that God made is good. For instance, let me think. Wasps. Are wasps good?
Yes.
Yes? They sting me. And then I got to go get a shot. But wasps are good because they help to keep God's order in place. Wasps eat some insects. You don't want to have mosquitoes in your house, do you? Thank a wasp. Okay. What about yellow jackets? Yeah, the big ones. I call those skeeter eaters because they sometimes eat mosquitoes themselves. What about yellow jackets? Yes, they're good. Even the ones that go to Georgia Tech. Yeah, they're good. They help to pollinate plants and keep things all growing and healthy.
And trees have oxygen.
That's right. Trees give us oxygen, and the oceans help to regulate the heat and the cool, and all kind of things are good because God put them here. So, when you think about God's creation, and particularly when you see animals around, think of St. Francis, because he was the one who helped to remind us that all of creation is good, okay? Let's remember that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the beauty of all of nature, for the sunshine, for the wind, for the rain, for all the animals and insects that help to make our world what it is. Bless each of them, we pray, and bless each of these gathered here, because like your creation, you have created us good too. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. And don't forget, next Sunday is Mama's Day. Do something nice for your mama, okay?
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Listen for God's word. Hear, my child, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the first book of Peter, chapter 2. Listen for God's word. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That Burl Red is a kind of contemporary, or was, Christian writer of many songs. And what sets him apart and distinguishes, I think, from so many Christian songwriters is he has good theology. And I appreciate y'all singing that today, particularly on a communion Sunday. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. John. We are reading from the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, your word fills us and calls us and sets us on the path of your righteousness and your will. Help us to listen, to discern, and to follow through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is one of those passages that is very, very familiar to us. And particularly at funerals, it is used quite a bit. I remember my father in his last months suffering from dementia discussed this passage with me. And of course he read from the old King James and sometimes would, in a streak of liberality, manage to go to the RSV. But he said, he always quoted, in my father's house are many mansions. You remember that translation? He said he didn't care for the translation that said, in my father's house there are many rooms. He wanted a mansion. And being an architect, I guess that would be fitting. And I hope he got one. I don't really know. Such decisions are far above my pay grade. But when he did finally pass and we used this passage, I made sure that I used the word mansions in the funeral homily for fear that he might rise up and call me unrighteous, ungrateful, and a miserable excuse for a son. He might have embellished that a little bit, knowing him. But knowing this passage, we need to consider that this is not a passage about death and dying. This is a very rich passage about life and about living. Jesus was giving, at this point, his final words to the disciples as they were in that upper room. We typically think of Jesus uttering these words with that gentle, serene smile on his face, that comforting look about him. But I can't help but think that perhaps Jesus delivered these words with a little bit of a quiver on his chin and perhaps a few tears beginning to well up in his eyes, because he knew that this was the end of the earthly road. And he was giving them, as it were, his final living benediction. Let not your hearts be troubled. I think Jesus' heart was very troubled at this point because, well, Judas had already gone out to do his dirty deed. And the disciples just did not seem to get it yet. And so Jesus says, in the midst of their anxiety and confusion about what's happening, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. Things are going to work out the way they're supposed to work out. With or without your material assistance, God's will be done. And he tells them, I am going ahead of you into the unknown future. I'm going there because I know what's there. And I'm going to go and make sure that you have a place. You have a place where everything will be happy and joyous and free. You have a place where you will be completely fulfilled. I'm going to make sure that's ready for you so that where I am, you will be also. What Jesus is saying is that without us, his brothers and sisters, his life is incomplete. Yeah, that's what I said. Jesus is telling us it is very, very, very important to him that where he is, there we will be also. Very similar to that shepherd and sheep analogy we had last week. If one of us is missing, the household is incomplete. And you know the way to the place I'm going. And then here comes Thomas. Yeah, we've talked about Thomas, the author of the Gospel of Eeyore. Yeah, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, you know the way. You know it intrinsically. You know it because you have been with me. You know the way because it is buried so deep in your psyche you can't avoid it. But it is buried so deeply in your psyche that sometimes you have a hard time recognizing it. And then Philip comes along and says, Lord, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus says to him, you've seen the Father because you have seen me. I and the Father are one. There's a bit of a problematic passage in here. No one comes to the Father but by me. Lord, I have seen that on bumper stickers. I have heard it preached from fundamentalist pulpits, and it seems like it is an exclusionary text in our theology, when I think in reality nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is here saying, I am come to bring the whole flock home. All of you will come to the Father because of what I am doing. By my giving of myself completely to the will of the Father, I am bringing all the flock home. Sometimes we use that as a conditional text. Unless you believe like me, I'm sorry, you're going to hell. You heard that before? Yep, I've been told I'm going to hell by more people. I mean, you kind of set yourself up as a target when you have a rev in front of your name. Unless I'm their type of rev, then I am heading down the slippery slope to the eternal barbecue. Thank you very much. I think that kind of thinking does more to alienate Christians from the world than anything else. Someone once asked Gandhi, "What is the greatest enemy of Christianity in India?" And he said, "Christians. We become so exclusive that we turn other people off. We have so many quality control experts in the faith that we lose sight of the product which we are producing by the Holy Spirit of God." Poor Philip couldn't quite figure it out. I am in God, and God is in me. Have you been with me so long, Philip, that you don't recognize this? And the answer probably is, yes, I have. Let me tell you something. We do not understand all the things of God. We will not understand all the things of God, or even the implications of God, on this side of Jordan's chilly stream. And guess what? That is okay. God's not going to believe us by how we think or what we know. God is going to judge us based on the laws of grace. Philip is just like the rest of us. We don't understand. And Jesus' response is, "That's okay. You've seen God because you've seen me." And Philip, you're a little slow on the uptake, but guess what? All of us are. And that is our common denominator. Jesus then concludes this passage by saying, "Those who believe in me, even if they haven't seen me, like Philip," well, not like Philip, "those who haven't seen me but believe in me will do greater things than what I have done. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Well, that is a problem. When I was growing up, I kept referring back to this passage and asking God if he could do something to make my little sister more bearable. God answered that question with the response, "No." God has three ways or four ways of answering our prayers. There's yes, there's no, there's not right now, and there's quit messing with me. We need to recognize that. Yes, we do great things in the name of Jesus Christ in terms of how we can bring medical miracles to God-forsaken places, in terms of how we can show the compassion of Jesus Christ to literally tens of millions with the miracle of television and video. We do great things, we just don't recognize it because we think if we don't have some kind of magic juju in our work, then somehow we're not accessing the power of God. Nothing could be further from the truth. God gives each of us a gift to do something for the kingdom. We merely have to discern what it is and do it in faith that God will honor it. If you do anything in my name, ask for it, and I will do it. There is a little conditional there, isn't there? In my name. Sometimes it's not really in the name of Jesus that we're doing something. Sometimes it's in the name of ourselves. My sense is, whenever we do something in the name of Jesus and invoke his presence, Jesus will be there. And when we do, we need to stop micromanaging the kingdom of God. Great things happen, but sometimes we're called to start the ball rolling and leave the rest to gravity and God, spiritually speaking, of course. This is what this table is all about. This is the table that ushers us into the future. It's not about memorializing the past. It's about empowering the present for future service. That's what this table is about. Remembering, but also going forth in the name of Jesus Christ into the future, where we do the works of God in the name and by the power of our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray together. Almighty God, with grateful hearts we come before you. Grant that we who bear your name may also be those who serve your kingdom. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. together, let us declare what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord.
Please be seated. You are welcome at this table. It does not belong to this or to any church or denomination. It is simply the Lord's table, and we hold it in trust for Him. And by His will and at His invitation, you are welcome at this table. No matter how you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, this is for you. Come and be welcome. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, God, faithful and strong. All your works, the height and depth, echo the silent music of your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned forth light, night withdrew, and creation dawned. Then, as if ages had passed unseen, waters gathered on the face of the earth and life appeared. When at last the days had ripened and the earth was grown full in abundance, you created in your image man and woman, the stewards of all creation. You gave us breath and speech that all the living might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you made and called good. Because sin rose up to leave a fault line, even in the earth, you stepped forward to enter into a covenant of peace that can renew the whole creation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, as a father joyfully welcomes his own, you embraced a people as yours, filling them with a longing for peace that will last, a justice that will never fail. Through the countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, that we may have communion in one body and blood of Christ, and that in him we may become one. Amen. Let us pray together. Bless, O Lord, these elements of bread and of the vine, that they may be unto us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We remember how in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took the bread, and after he had blessed it, he broke it and said, This is my body broken for you. This do as oft as ye eat it in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, after they had supped, he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of the sins of many. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do break the bread and share the cup until that time when he shall come again in glory. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us keep the feast.
Let us pray.
May they strengthen us for service in your kingdom and for peace in your world. Bless, we pray, the work of this church and all your people everywhere. Especially, O Lord, we are mindful of those who suffer at the hands of violence and inhumanity. Send your healing spirit, we pray, to all communities affected by sinfulness and hatred. Grant that all that we do may bring about that day of peace of which we dream and which you have promised. Bless, we pray, all of those who seek to know your name and to follow your will. These and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so go forth from this place in peace, knowing that a place awaits you in a realm yet unknown. And all that we know for sure is that our Lord Jesus Christ will be there waiting, and that, strangely enough, is enough. And so, in the name of God the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit be with us one and all. Amen.